take a quick look here. I'm not sure, but Yasmin or April or anyone on staff, does it look like we have a quorum?
By my count, we do have a quorum.
Okay, good. So we should be able to get started then. Welcome to those of you who are listening in and participating in this meeting. As you know, this is an open meeting that is conducted through the board. The investigative committee welcomes your presence here, though this is not an open meeting for discussion or participation unless previously arranged through the board or committee. Today, we don't have any such situation set up, so I would ask anyone that is listening in to know that we will not recognize you, so please don't raise your hand. And certainly please don't come off mute to ask any questions. We do our best to not identify anybody personally, so we typically refer to cases or complaints by their assigned number, either their case number or agenda item number. And when talking specifically about cases, we do our best to reference people by initials. Having said that, if you're here to find out what may be happening or recommended by the investigative committee regarding your case, and you don't know the number assigned to your case, I might suggest you take the next few moments to identify that, so that if you find that the committee is recommending dismissal or something that is non-disciplinary, you don't necessarily need to stay for the entire meeting unless you don't know that number. Other than that, we do appreciate you being here, but we would ask and respectfully request that you don't involve yourself in the meeting in any way, as I previously mentioned. At this time, I'd like to do a roll call to establish our quorum.
Caputo?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Asfari?
Yeah.
Dodell? Bukami?
Here.
MTS?
Here.
Kalamchi?
Here.
Kappas?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Motihari?
Here.
And did we get a yes from Dr. Dodell?
No, I didn't hear one.
Okay. David, are you here or not? And what's the limit for our quorum today?
It's six.
And we have how many? Seven?
Looks like eight.
Eight, excellent.
Nine.
Oh, even nine. Better. And Saba, you have to leave at 3:45, is that correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give you 10 minutes beforehand.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Great. At this time, looks like we should be okay, even with Dr. Kalamchi's departure, if we're not finished by that time. But let's go ahead and identify any conflicts regarding the agenda for today with any of our members. Cynthia.
I have a conflict with case number 4B6.
4B6. Is that the AO, Cynthia?
Oh, I'm sorry. AO, yes, that's correct. 20240015. And okay. Also case number 4B14, that is case number 20240055.
Okay. Anything
That's
else?
It.
That's it?
That's it.
Anything else? Well, it looks like just those two conflicts from Dr. Fukami.
Dr. MTS, go ahead.
Oh, Syria. Did you raise your – there it is. Thank you, Umar. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have one conflict, 4B21, case number 20240006.
Okay. And just the one, Umar?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much. Sorry I didn't see your hand. Anybody else? Okay, so we have three identified conflicts. And April, you have those cases okay?
I do, thank you.
All right. So given the fact that we have a quorum, I don't think it's going to matter if any of those cases get listed as items potentially for dismissal. So if those cases are included when I do my listing, Dr. Fukami or Dr. Imtiaz, you can just abstain on the vote, okay?
Got it.
As we go into our next agenda item, just want to give a general reminder. First of all, thank those of you who have responded to the survey. It is appreciated. I would request that all of us continue to respond. The comments are being taken, looked at, and assessed, and certainly will provide some report back to the committee. It may be that we try to carve out some time from our next agenda to discuss the survey results a little bit. I think so far some really thoughtful and insightful comments have been provided, and I sure do appreciate it. So just a reminder to the group to keep those coming in. Having said that, our next agenda item is discussion and a vote on our minutes from October 29th, 2024. Is there any changes, edits, or other types of corrections or modifications that need to be made to the minutes by any committee member?
This is Kappas. I move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay.
Second.
Is there a second? Second by Kalamchi. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motahari?
Upstay.
Okay. So we have approved the minutes from October 29th, 2024. Thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4, which goes into our discussion and recommendations on possible action for open cases in agenda items 4A and 4B. As we have done, I will go ahead and read off the cases that are being recommended for dismissal. And once I do that, making sure we all have that listing okay, I'll ask if there are any other additions to that listing, and then we'll take a vote from there. So we will start with agenda item 4A2, case number 2024-00367, case number 4B2, case number 2023-00390, agenda item 4B3, case number 2024-00023, agenda item 4B4, case number 2024-00035, agenda item 4B5, case number 2024-00050, agenda item 4B6, case number 2024-00105AO, agenda item 4B9, case number 2024-00235, agenda item 4B10, case number 2024-00251, agenda item 4B11, case number 2024-00252, agenda item 4B12, case number 2024-00253. Agenda item 4B13, case number 2024-00254. Agenda item 4B14, case number 2024-00255. Agenda item 4B16, case number 2024-00258. Agenda item 4B17, case number 2024-00276. Agenda item 4B20, case number 2024-00289. Agenda item 4B21, case number 2024-00306. Agenda item 4B23, case number 2024-00309. Agenda item 4B24, case number 2024-00310. Agenda item 4B26, case number 2024-00317. Agenda item 4B27, case number 2024-00319. Agenda item 4B28, case number 2024-00328. Agenda item 4B32, case number 2024-00335. Agenda item 4B34, case number 2024-00337. Agenda item 4B35, case number 2024-00339. Agenda item 4B38, case number 2024-00342. Agenda item 4B39, case number 2024-00344. Agenda item 4B41, case number 2024-00354. Agenda item 4B42, case number 2024-00355. Agenda item 4B44, case number 2024-00364. Agenda item 4B45, case number 2024-00365. Agenda item 4B46, case number 2024-00366. Agenda item 4B47, case number 2024-00376. Agenda item 4B49, case number 2024-00382. Agenda item 4B50, case number 2024-00383. Agenda item 4B51, case number 2024-00393. Agenda item 4B52, case number 2024-00399. Agenda item 4B53, case number 2024-00406. Agenda item 4B54, case number 2024-00417. Agenda item 4B55, case number 2024-00423. Agenda item 4B56, case number 2024-00424. And agenda item 4B57, case number 2024-00465. Does any of that need to be repeated for anybody?
Dr. Caputo, this is Ryan. I just have a quick question. I put down 15 as in 1-5, and then you read the case number for 16. That's probably my error. I just wanted to make sure if 15 or 16.
Okay. I appreciate that. Yeah. So it should be agenda item 4B16, case number 2024-00258.
Okay. I misheard it then. Thank you for clarifying.
Oh, and thank you. Anybody else? Okay. So if the listing looks good, is there any committee member that would like to remove any of those aforementioned cases for further discussion? Go ahead. I don't know who that is.
Harris, I'd like to pull 4B47 to chat about.
Okay, hold on just a sec. 4B47, case number 2024-00376.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm just going to mark that real quick, Skip. Hold on a second. Were there any other cases that you wanted to pull?
No, sir.
Okay, appreciate it. Any other committee members would like to pull any other of those cases that were mentioned?
I have a question for you.
Yes.
If we're dismissing against the licensee, but have a question regarding the entity involved,
I would say pull it, Cynthia, and then just we'll discuss it. I think that's easier.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
I think so, too. So I'll pull where is it? Oh, agenda item
B54, case number 2024-00417.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And I may find another one, but please go on to whoever else.
Oh, you're okay. I see. All right.
Let me take a look. Yep.
Anybody else? Looks like we're back to you, Dr. Fukami.
Okay, give me one second. One second.
Okay. And while she's looking, April, do you have that listing okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm okay with that. That's it.
Okay. All right. So we have two cases identified and that have been removed. So with that adjusted listing, this is a recommendation for dismissal of those cases. Can I get a motion?
So move.
So move. Kalamchi, is there a second?
Martin.
Martin seconds. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Abstain.
Antias?
Abstain.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. So those cases will be recommended to the board for dismissal. Thank you all. We are now on to individual cases. I kind of went ahead and made an audible here. I know in the past we've kind of gone to letters of concern. Interestingly enough, I kind of don't really have any recommendations for letter of concern, but nonetheless, the thought was those probably merit their own discussion versus considering them as a group, and I felt like that was reasonable, so I'm just going to go ahead and handle those cases individually. So we'll just start in our first item here for discussion. I have agenda item 4A1, case number 2024-00139. And I'm looking at pages, looks like 41 and 42. Let me just make sure I'm correct on that. That's correct. So While I don't disagree with the investigator, what I'm on the fence about for discussion with the committee is if this rises to disciplinary or non-disciplinary. So kind of with that, I'll open it up for discussion. Please. Or other thoughts?
And just to be clear, we're talking about 4A1, correct?
4A1, correct.
I had a poor perio, poor records with the consideration for some CE. I don't think it was egregious. I could probably talk to the non-disciplinary.
And that's kind of what, that's what I was thinking too. Thank you, Skip. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Kappas. I agree with Dr. Harris. I had exactly the same notation. So
what do you think? Non-disciplinary, Deb?
Yes, non-disciplinary. And I was also thinking that we might want to include the supervising dentist in this as well.
And
in the non-disciplinary.
Okay, and what did you see that implicated the dentist?
Only because it's a shared liability, so that's really the only reason. Because there really wasn't any true perio diagnoses, so even though the clinical information was quite lacking and the documentation was quite lacking, it still is the dentist's responsibility to render a diagnosis.
Okay. I just think what I want to make sure about, right, is that we're consistent with what's in the complaint and what's presented by the investigator. I do see that it was mentioned that the dentist had some deviations based on what the investigator found. Regarding consent and some other documentation stuff. I'm just not seeing anything to that point, and I don't know if that would be beyond our purview to make that recommendation. Seamus, do you have a sense of that?
Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Thank you for the question. If you are going to find new allegations, I would suggest that you remand that back to investigation if you feel that it's important enough. But it does not seem to be within the purview of the current investigation and allegations.
Okay. So I think, Deb, we'd have to refer it back. I don't, because they didn't come out and say it. Does that make sense? Unless anything.
Sure. Yeah, I agree, and I don't think it's worth remanding.
Okay. I mean, I think that I think based on what the investigator identified, there were some record-keeping issues, and so I think maybe a recommendation for, you know, risk management CE, I think, is within that purview. Would that be somewhat reasonable?
Yes, indeed.
Because that certainly is you, and this is for the committee, but on page 41, Dr. Cutler did identify issues with Dr. GK that are listed there.
Yeah, so actually, if I could jump in there, one of the deviations listed was no perio diagnosis, any detailed evaluation documented for one of the patients. So.
Right, but I think that's maybe where that can come in.
And that's exactly what I was kind of referring to, too. So it's encompassed in that.
And that's the point, right? We just want to be consistent. All right. So what would you recommend for the hygienist, Deb?
I was looking at let me get my notes here. I was looking at perio diagnosis and treatment planning, and then the risk management and record keeping.
Okay, so record keeping would be part of risk management. So
that's, that's true. That's true. So that would be 4 hours in that, and
right.
Then
how many in perio diagnosis and treatment planning?
And probably for the hygienist, I'd say three hours in perio diagnosis and treatment planning.
Okay. So this is a non-disciplinary recommendation for Ms. K of 3 hours of perio diagnosis and treatment planning and 4 hours of risk management. And then for Dr. GK, as listed on page 41, and this is more for staff to relay to the board, 4 hours of risk management, also non-disciplinary. And if we're okay with that, is there a motion for that recommendation?
Harrison moves.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kalamchi. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Impias?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. And then, Seamus, just to circle back to your comments, it is listed in the report. So I think carrying that recommendation forward should be consistent with what we're recommending to the full board.
And Dr. Caputo, this is AAG Monahan. So it will be re-noticed with the individual GK with that respondent, just so that they have time to respond to the allegations. But you are correct. If you believe it's in there, we will just re-notice them and provide that material to them.
Perfect. Yeah, and it is. And thank you for that. Okay. We are now on agenda item 4B1. Case number 2023-00363. And for the committee, I'm looking at pages 1022 and 1024-25. And Julie, are you on?
Yes, sir.
So this is just a little comment for you to kind of bring back to your group. But this was something that wasn't identified by the investigator, and so I just want to bring it to your attention. So the issue that I'm seeing here, I don't know if anybody else saw it. I'm just going to jump to those pages now.
I saw the same.
Is the first thing on 1022, the one concern I had is in the note, it said that the patient was administered 4 milligrams of trazolam. I think we're assuming that was a typo. I certainly hope the patient didn't get that amount of trazolam. My only other concern here, and Julie, this is something I'd like when folks are investigating this to maybe ask more questions. But it says here that the medication was given under the patient's tongue. And what I would have inquired is how they administer it under the tongue. If they're crushing that tablet up, that really becomes a sublingual administration. And while this is better addressed in the new rules that are forthcoming, administering a drug sublingually is a parenteral administration. And that's beyond the scope of this permit level. I'm not going to get too far in the weeds on that, but I just want to bring that to your attention, okay? And that's something that will get looked at more closely because, as I said, when these new rules go into effect, that's clearly defined in the rules that sublingual is a parenteral administration technique, and that's beyond the scope of a dentist who's trained in oral or enteral administration. So I think that's important, and as a side note for all of our attorneys out there, I really would hope that you'd try to make sure your clients understand that distinction, because that's not a enteral administrative technique. It's a parenteral technique. Moving on to 1024 and 25, what I find more egregious here is, particularly on 1025, is the complete lack of completing that form. There's no wait listed. There's no ASA classification listed. Now, what it says here is 4 times 0.25. So that would have been 1 milligram versus 4 milligrams. But having said that, that's still a pretty good dose and sort of something that probably should be investigated a little bit more too. But also the lack of any pre-op vital signs, no indication of medical conditions, medications, or allergies, either affirming or denying. And the other thing I'll just briefly note on 1024 is that the monitor is not calibrated. So the times that are listed are not consistent with the actual time that the patient was seen. So in light of that, the dentist is in violation of R411-1303 Section E, which is basically what's required to document when you perform an enteral sedation with a 1303 permit. So as a result, that record is deficient and incomplete. So I'm proposing 15 CEs in enteral moderate sedation to include patient evaluation, patient selection, local anesthesia dosing, monitoring, charting, and also include a practice restriction on any enteral sedation until the CE is completed. So I'll put that out for discussion to the committee.
I agree. Harris seconds.
Any other discussion?
I saw the same issues.
And do you think that's a reasonable proposal, Cynthia?
I do. I actually thought there was the rest of it, the other allegations I felt were addressed. The licensee seemed to be attempting to help the patient, but
yes.
I just felt there was so much missing on this aspect that there could have been, I'm glad it wasn't a bigger issue. Let's put it that way. And so, on that front, I actually debated between non-disciplinary versus disciplinary. But yes, I agree. There are too many things checked off here or not checked off. So, and I think in light of the fact that at least one of the allegations from the patient was the, lack of attendance during the administration of the sedative. And so that's part of the reason why it made me go look for the record.
Yes.
And so it should have been addressed. Yep.
Right. And that's where I was at as well. And I appreciate you making that point because I didn't say that. But, yes, this would be a disciplinary recommendation. You're correct. And that's I think for the very reason that you stated. So I appreciate that. Any other comments? Yes, Seamus.
Thank you, committee. So the only question I had is, do you believe, based on what you're finding here, that it would be appropriate to send this back to investigation in order to make that determination? Not that you're not making that determination, but just so that the investigation reflects that determination as well?
I will defer to you. I mean, if you think that would be more appropriate, I'm fine with that. I just think that the investigator didn't identify it, which why I was bringing it to Dr. Cutler's attention. This isn't the first time this has happened where I think the investigator doesn't necessarily have the knowledge or appreciation, and I don't know which, and I'm not saying that negatively at all, to necessarily look more definitively at these sedation issues. So having said that, it's clearly in what's presented to us, and I think the fact that the three of us can make that pretty much same conclusion, I don't know that we need anything more, but I'll defer to you if you think we need to handle that differently.
This is Ryan. Seamus, let me know if you agree with this, and then also Dr. Caputo and the rest of the committee. Generally, what I would say is similar to what Seamus was saying. I think the whole reason why the committee is established is to not look and pick apart something that an investigator did, but to basically continue the substantiation process and either substantiate what the investigator found or not when they make the recommendations. So in this, I don't know that it needs another investigation or further investigation, but maybe a directive to staff to ask the investigator to
amend their investigative report to include these other violations that you guys as a committee substantiated, and provided they agree, then no further investigation needs to happen, and then it can go directly to the board. Or the other alternative is direct staff to, because we provide a staff memo from this meeting to the board announcing the recommendation, just have something in the staff memo with the committee's recommendation, finding the other findings that the investigator did not include in the report. And to that, I would just maybe get Seamus's legal opinion on either one of those avenues and then see what you guys come up with.
Thank you, Ryan. So I think that could be appropriate. What I would just ask the committee that if you do move forward and don't remand back to investigation, that what you do is when you move it forward, you direct staff to have the allegations you've now included reviewed by a sedation expert prior to this matter going to the board.
Okay.
I do, to Ryan's point, I think you continue to move it forward with the sedation expert reviewing it before it goes to the board, and then the board can handle it from there.
So it doesn't necessarily have to go back to the investigator directly?
If you don't want it to, I think as long as somebody who will be able to testify can review that material if and when it's needed.
Okay. I like that idea. Is the committee fine with that recommendation to have this reviewed by a sedation expert with our recommendation as a committee, and then based on their review, move that forward to the board?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
I'm fine with it, but I think we're making more work.
Well, I think because it wasn't actually something the investigator identified, we have to in some way make it known how we got there, I guess, Skip. It's a formality.
Yes, just to that point, you are the decision makers here, so you would not be testifying as an expert in the hearing. That is the whole point. So,
all right, so we are making a disciplinary recommendation of 15 CEs in enteral-moderate sedation to include patient evaluation, patient selection, local anesthesia dosing, monitoring, charting, and attaching a practice restriction until that CE is completed. With that recommendation, we are asking the board through staff to have a identified sedation or anesthesia expert review this case with that recommendation, and based on their review and acceptance, then forward that to the board. Are you okay with that, Skip, based on you seconding it previously?
Yes, sir.
All right, so motion by Caputo, seconded by Harris. Any other comments by the committee? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Bonahari?
Yes.
Okay, that motion for that recommendation with review carries. Thank you. We are now on agenda item 4B7. Case number 2024-00227. For the committee, I'm looking at page 1503. And I'm at a similar point here as to whether this is disciplinary or non-disciplinary, based on what we recommend. There is a violation of 32-1201-23, but in light of that, it's just a non-compliance with subpoena, so our recommendation can continue to be disciplinary or non-disciplinary despite that statutory violation, as we know. So with that, I'll open that up for discussion with the committee to see what others think.
Yeah, This is Harris. I mean, there was some poor Crown and Bridge there. Not the crime of the century, but definitely some below standard Crown and Bridge.
Did you see it rising to a disciplinary or non-disciplinary level?
I was really hoping that the oral surgeon wouldn't have to make that call.
Well, I'm just saying, based on your review, did you have a sense?
I would describe it as poor, not particularly disciplinary poor.
Okay. Dr. Motohari.
Yes, Dr. Caputo. The work, I would say, is non-disciplinary, but I'm worried about the necessity of the work that was done. That raises concern for me. I don't think the tooth needed to have a full coverage crown to begin with.
And so you figure your position is the decision-making to get to what was done raises to the level of disciplinary.
It concerns me, yes.
Okay. Any other comments from the committee? I don't see the hand, but I heard it.
Is that the Palanchi?
Hi. And I agree. I mean, I don't want this crown in my mouth. I think it should go to a disciplinary action.
Okay. So based on that, here's what I would propose the committee to consider. A violation, so we'll begin with a violation of 32-1201, 01, 14, and 23. Is there a second to that?
I second that.
Okay, second by Motohari. Discussion on those two violations?
I apologize. Dr. Caputo, did you say 14 and 23?
23, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Impias?
Yes.
Kalamshi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motohari?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for the finding of those two violations. As we already identified, 23 is a non-compliance with subpoena, so that recommendation is a fine of $500. For 14, I would propose a disciplinary recommendation to include 12 CEs through the Credits CARES program in the area of diagnosis, treatment planning for restorative, including single unit crowns, occlusion, and treatment with appliances. Any other discussion or thoughts about that proposal?
Right to the point, in my opinion.
Okay. You want to second that?
Second that.
Okay. Other discussion? Okay, so
actually, this is Kappas. I didn't know if it was appropriate. Considering that we went disciplinary on this, would restitution also be indicated?
I don't know if I saw restitution, Deb. So can you just help us out?
Page 1503.
Uh huh.
Patient paid $356.40 for crown, and insurance paid $360 for crown.
Right. And so I just didn't see the investigator saying anything about restitution, even though I do see your numbers. So are you wanting to include that is what you're saying?
It just seems to me that if the crown is deficient enough to warrant a disciplinary action, that restitution to the patient and insurance would be indicated, particularly believing then that the crown may have to be redone.
Okay. Well, again, it's a recommendation, and are you okay with that, Mindy?
Yes, and I just want to make it clear. The crown is deficient, but then again, we talked about diagnosis. Putting a crown on this tooth was more issue because the tooth could be restored by a simple restoration, which is maybe a couple of surfaces.
Sure.
So I just want to make sure that's clear because it was mentioned other way.
Yeah, and I think you're – and it is.
Yes.
So we are going to attach onto that recommendation restitution as listed on page 1503 in the amount of $356.40 to the patient and $300.60 to insurance. Further discussion beyond that? Thank you, Deb. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Lupami?
Yes.
Amtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries for that recommendation, including the fine for noncompliance with subpoena and the restitution as identified. We are now on agenda item 4B8, case number 2024-00231. For the committee, I'm looking at page 1555, and I am proposing for consideration violations of 32, 1201, 01, 14, and 24. Any discussion on those violations?
Would 14 and 24 include the assistant taking impressions? Or is that, doesn't that fall into one more category?
Well, I mean, 14, as you know, is pretty encompassing. So I think it would be included in that. I don't know. Is there a...
I think 19 would, 19 would include that.
So the challenge I have there, and Seamus, I'll look for you for a little direction, is that it says willful or intentional, but under allowing them to commit illegal acts. Now, it does say or perform an act or operation other than. So there may be room for that interpretation, Deb. Seamus, your thoughts?
What was that exact interpretation? I apologize. I'm trying to.
The concern here is that in this particular case, the dentist allowed the assistant to perform a procedure that they were not supposed to perform. It's not within their scope of practice.
So, yeah, according to R411-702A4 under prohibited acts for a dental assistant, it says taking final impressions other than digital for et cetera, et cetera.
Well, maybe we make that reference, Deb, to the rule rather than to the statute.
Well, and failure to supervise, is that was your question, correct? Is it failure to supervise?
I mean, effectively, yes.
Yes. If they are performing a procedure that they cannot perform and the dentist is overseeing their actions as they are their assistant, the board has historically considered that to be failure to supervise. The question is, under the rule you cited, was it general supervision or direct supervision required, or was it a certificate that wasn't held?
It's neither. It's a prohibited act, period.
Perfect. Thank you.
So I don't know. Does it matter, Ryan or Seamus, if we cite rule for reference to the board or statute?
Well, I think I would appreciate if you would cite the statute and the rule. If it ends up in an order or a document, it will cite both.
Okay, so I think, Deb, to your point, and thank you for saying that, and Skip for bringing it up. So let's include then 19. I think that merits being there. And then, Deb, for staff, could you just say that rule again?
Sure. It is R411-702A4.
Okay, so we're looking at violation of the rule as stated by Ms. Kappas, as well as violation of 32-1201-01, 14, 19, and 24.
And, sorry, Dr. Caputo, this is Ryan. Without adding more to the conversation. To Seamus's point, 32-1263A4 is the statutory violation that you can use in conjunction with the rule that Deb cited. So that 1263A4 allows you to then use the rule as the reference.
So we would need it then, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we would include 32-1263A4. I think, because this is, you need this, right, Seamus?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Ryan. I think that's fine. And Deb, thank you for that as well. And Skip for the identification. Any other comments by the committee regarding those violations? Okay. Is there a second to that proposed set of violations?
Second.
Second, Calamchi. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay, that motion for the finding of those violations carries. With that, I would propose for the committee's consideration and discussion a disciplinary recommendation to include 20 CEs through the Credits CARES program in the area of diagnosis, treatment planning for dental implants, placement of implants based on osseous diagnosis, periodontal diagnosis and charting, record keeping, scope of care for dental assistants, and then restitution in the amount of $16,917. Discussion.
This is Harris. I felt like the minis were so bad that maybe there needs to be some sort of restriction of practice in implants until the CEs are completed.
Okay. So include with that recommendation a restriction of practice until the CE in the area of implant CE is completed. I think that's fair.
Yes, please.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Other comments, thoughts?
Second.
Second by Motihari. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for that recommendation, including the restitution as well as the practice restriction. We are now on agenda item 4B15, case number 2024-00256. I identified a violation of 32-1201-0114. So I'll open that up for discussion with the committee.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Other discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for that violation. With that, I'm looking for the committee at page 6,368 and would propose a disciplinary recommendation to include 16 CEs through the Credits CARES program in the area of diagnosis, treatment planning for fixed partial dentures, including partially edentulous arches, occlusion, use of occlusal appliances, record keeping, informed consent, and ethics, as well as restitution in the amount of $1,656. Discussion.
Harris seconds.
Any other thoughts or comments by the committee for that recommendation? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for that recommendation. We are now on agenda item 4B18, case number 2024-00282. For the committee, I'm looking at pages 6,607 and 8. I didn't identify a violation here and was going to recommend a non-disciplinary CE. So starting there, I'll open it up for discussion. And mainly if there's anybody that felt like this did rise to a disciplinary level. My thought was to recommend 4 CEs in the area of risk management.
I agree with you.
Okay. Other comments?
And are we thinking non-disciplinary? That was
yeah. Non-disciplinary.
Harris seconds.
Okay. So we have a non-disciplinary recommendation of 4 CEs in risk management, seconded by Harris. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay. That recommendation carries. We are now on agenda item 4B19, case number 2024-00283. For the committee, I'm looking at page 6,867. And I didn't identify a violation here and was going to make the recommendation of a non-disciplinary action to include 4 CEs in risk management. So open for discussion and other thoughts by the committee.
Second.
This is Harris. I don't, again, see this as the crime of the century, but I think one of the things that bothered me was it was a little blatant. Like the pharmacist noted that this has happened multiple times over multiple time periods with the pharmacist interjecting, and it almost seems like he's not getting the message that maybe this is on the outskirts of professional conduct. I don't think the actual prescriptions have me as concerned as what it appeared to be his attitude towards it.
Don't disagree with that. What were you thinking, Skip?
I don't know. I just think he needs to, his attention clearly needs to be created, because I don't think he got it from the pharmacist.
Yes. Someone raised their hand.
Cynthia.
I did. Yeah, hi. Stick with me.
Yeah, go ahead.
So on a similar vein as what Dr. Harris mentioned, so I thought that there was an apology to the pharmacist. And so I thought, containing the letter, and I thought he acknowledged that he needed to change his practice of prescribing to inappropriately, let me put it that way. I think that was acknowledged. I thought the affect of the letter was a little strange. But to that end, I think my concern is not only that, but as well, I get that some medications wouldn't maybe be as concerning, but there were two here, namely the controlled substance that was being prescribed for a family member, and then the one medication that was involved with the self-medication that at least would raise a concern for me that this person may be self-medicating for something that should really be monitored by an appropriate clinician. And is that a condition that would pose a danger to the public or his patients or et cetera in the future? And that I just want to have some resolution in my mind that he is getting the appropriate care he needs, that someone's monitoring him and supposed to doing
so what,
it to himself.
What are you thinking as a
I definitely had a letter of concern and or a non-disciplinary C. I don't know what that is, but how can the board be assured that at least those questions are being addressed, right?
Okay. Yeah, no, I get you. Yeah. Ryan, our staff, if there is a concern that there might be some misuse of substances here, is there anything that the board can do or identify, or how might that be approached, or what do you know historically has been done?
Yeah, this is Ryan. So, I mean, if you suspect that, then we can start inquiring about that, and then they can go into a confidential monitoring program. There's an assessment that takes place, a test and stuff like this. And there's a lot that we can help them, because that's the point, is to not be draconian in a response, but to be helpful, but also make certain that the public is still safe. So they would not be allowed to practice until an assessment takes place. And that person then establishes that they are or are not safe to practice.
Right. And how long do those usually take once initiated?
So we as staff can act on it pretty quickly. The challenge is, like, to take a test may not draw anything, because I don't know how long ago any of this occurred. So we probably would skip that step. And then based on the review of this, if it's this committee's thought that there may be an issue, like a substance abuse issue, then Seamus, you may have to help me on this. I think that we can just maybe start the process at this level and not have to go to the board, because you guys are a committee of peers and would establish, yeah, there is something here. Because we as staff almost, we do this, and we're not even dentists. So I think that the process can stop, at least in this regard here. We can request that they get an assessment, and then if nothing, then we move on. If there is something, then there's a lot that we'd have to do. Seamus, can we stop this, or do they have to get this through a recommendation to the board and have the board direct?
Thank you for the question, Ryan. No, I agree with you. At this point, if that's a concern you have and you believe that there's evidence of that, then the staff, due to statute, the executive director, is authorized to enter into these agreements. I would imagine at some point it would go to the board for final ratification and approval, but the executive director is authorized by statute to enter into these agreements if necessary. So that's a route that you could take.
Okay. So, Cynthia, what are your thoughts about that?
Does that sound reasonable to you? And what are other people's thoughts? I think so. I think there's some red flags here that I...
No, I mean, that's right. And I'm just saying that, I mean, and I think, Skip, you were kind of there too. Was that...
Saba has his hand up.
Oh, who's... Go ahead, Saba.
Well, I think this is go to the level somebody has to monitor him. These medications, like he's practicing medicine without a license. Why he's prescribing these medication, and that's related to dentistry. I think somebody have to do something about that.
Okay. And Skip, is that consistent?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't get the druggy vibe, and I didn't get the, you know, horribly abusive trying to practice medicine without a license, although I think technically that probably fits. I got more of the, I think the rules don't apply, and I'm going to push them even though I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. And Cynthia, I agree with you that there was an apology letter there, but that apology letter occurred after multiple encounters with that pharmacist. So, I think everybody has played things fast and loose at one time in their career, but I think you get caught a couple of times and you still do it. That's the part that scares me. I didn't get the vibe that he's drug addicted or that he's out there as a danger to the community, but I could be wrong.
I hear you. So let me rephrase what I was thinking. So I didn't come to this thinking that there was a druggy concern. I think it was more, should we be, I think that the self-prescribing and all that was perhaps what was most convenient for this busy individual, maybe. At least that's how it sounds like it was presented, and that's what he's been doing all along. And that his anger or maybe reaction to the pharmacist was based out of being inconvenienced and confronted about that. So for all those reasons, I think that you're right. I don't necessarily think it was per se a drug abuse, but one of those medications is definitely a psychotropic medication, right? And would require maintenance by someone a medical degree. I don't know how he learned that that's what he should take. Let me put it that way. That's one that I wouldn't just think to prescribe for myself. Let me put it that way. Without some fairly significant indicators that I would need that drug. Let me put it that way. And so that's where I'm concerned is someone monitoring him? I'm coming from the standpoint of, is he capable? Is he in a stable state where he can continue practicing as he is without receiving that medication or being monitored for it? Does that make sense? Maybe that's a better way for me to phrase that.
But I still think it addresses the larger issue. So let me just go back. So the one thing I think we're grappling a little bit with here is the dentist, once this is identified, cannot practice, correct?
Yeah, and we have to do the assessment first, and if the assessment.
How long does that take?
So that's the thing that we can basically, I'm going to say demand, for lack of a better word, that it happen as immediate as possible. So it's fairly quick once there's like indicators to, and generally this goes through staff. So the fact that we missed it, maybe because it's part of the investigation, we didn't capture it and it wasn't like somebody called in. But the fact that the investigative committee is looking at this, I think we as staff and then Seamus should get something written up ASAP, get it out to them to tell them, hey, you have so long to get an assessment done.
Right.
It's pretty immediate, like 7 days or less.
Right. I think the one issue is that there is a concern. I think to Cynthia's point, and I think what she's trying to emphasize is not only is he prescribing these drugs for himself that obviously have some question as to that prescription, but also that he would continue working while taking these drugs. Right, Cynthia?
I think so.
Without being monitored.
Without an oversight from someone else, right.
And,
I think that's
the fact that you're doing it yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, and the fact that you're prescribing it yourself, you're obviously not being monitored.
I think so, yes.
And I think that, Sabai, that's what I was hearing you say, too, is that there's concern with the type of medications that are being prescribed here.
Yeah. What are the drugs? Are these Scheduled II drugs? Is that the concern?
I think one of them was, what's the page number where those are at, Cynthia?
Looks like
6865, Ryan, in the packet. Is where I saw three prescriptions. One of them is for hydrocodone, but that was for a family member. If I'm looking at that correctly.
Yeah, for a family member, I assume that's who needed it, but we don't know, right?
No,
but
correct. The other one no, and I mean, I understand that, but I'm just, we're just only to read, right? We can't interpret.
Correct. And the other one is for Vraylar.
I have a question.
Yes,
if you're prescribing for family member as narcotic, Did he have a chart, opened, examined this family member, looked at the teeth and the reason why he prescribed that? I mean, these are indication you could give family member, but I don't know about narcotic. You could give an antibiotic because they have abscess tooth. But other reason you give, it's not indicated. The same thing with the other medication. We're not saying this guy look seeking drugs or anything. I agree with that. But he's doing something is not allowable under the DEA license. I mean, that's something we really have to be aware of. It's really the prescription of medication is like he's practicing medicine for other family members. Or just because it's inconvenient for him to go and see a doctor.
Certainly a couple of those medications are outside of the scope of dentistry as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably as important to see, is this capable to render dentistry to his patient under these drugs? That's another issue.
I think that there's enough here. I would propose that we do direct the staff to do a assessment on this dentist. I don't disagree. Having said that, does the recommendation for non-disciplinary CE have any meaning at this point, Ryan, or do we do the assessment and then revisit this issue?
But Dr. Caputo, I apologize, Ryan, but I just wanted to jump in real quick here. I think, you know, I've heard we're not worried he's seeking drugs. We don't think he's a drug seeker, but, you know, he's doing things out. He's coloring outside the lines, that's for sure. You know, I think the best thing to do would be to expedite this to the board as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting at. And
as far as the order goes, and again, I'm not going to tell you whether you should direct staff to do to request an interim order for, you know, substance abuse evaluation. But if that's the route you're going down, I would just make sure that we identify, you know, what drugs he's prescribed himself or members of his, you know, more importantly, what he prescribed himself. If you want to identify other ones, to just identify that for staff.
Yes. So I actually was going to share that. So that actually, I do want to mention that. It's on page 6877 is the one that I everyone else turns out. And this is the one that for me was the one that I saw that made me pause. So do you see that on do I have the right page? 6877?
Yeah. It was also on the other one, but it's here as well.
Okay. And that's where I think it's very clear that we're self-medicating for something that I think really, you know, should be monitored by an appropriate individual. Some of the other ones I may quibble. I don't, you know, they're not potential for causing as much harm, but this one is indicative of that. And again, what I don't want to happen is that this was somehow identified because of the DEA issues, et cetera. This is an issue that was identified. Nothing further action is taken or evaluated, and then a couple years from now, we find out that this actually was just the tip of the iceberg or something else going on. That's all. So.
I think your point is well taken.
And so his health, of course, too. So, yep.
Right. So I guess we're struggling with maybe intervening to the level of some kind of assessment to at least addressing the fact that this is fairly significant. The types of medications that are being prescribed are fairly significant, and their indications are at a level that would be outside the scope of dental practice. Is that fair to say?
This is Deb. This is Deb Kappas. I've been kind of listening to all of this. I do think this rises to the level of a violation, and I would quote 32.1201.013 as the violation. And I know we're still struggling with the other. I agree, but I still think we should at least identify that as a violation.
Okay, that's
a potential violation. Correct.
Correct.
Because that would be the purpose of the and I just wanted to point out the purpose of the interim order for substance abuse evaluation would technically be a confidential order And if it comes back clean and there's no issues, well, then, you know, there you have your answer. If it doesn't, then it may lead to, as we discussed, the agreement.
Right. But I would say, but Seamus, I would just call your attention to, because to Deb's point, which I think is reasonable, 3212.01.013 does say prescribing, dispensing, or using drugs for other than accepted dental therapeutic purposes or for other than medically indicated supportive therapy in conjunction with managing a patient's needs within the scope of dentistry, basically. And at least three of those prescriptions are outside of that, for sure. The Vrylar, the levothyroxine, and the Armour.
I apologize. Could you briefly explain those three?
So levothyroxine is a hypothyroid medication. So it'd be somebody with either a thyroid that's not functioning properly or some issue with their thyroid. And as a result, it's a supplement for what they're not getting through their own body. Armour is an iron supplement. And the Vrylar is an antipsychotic, typically indicated for treatment of schizophrenia.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Member Kappas and Dr. Caputo.
So I do think that to that point, you're right, Deb, that is a violation. I just want to get back to this. If we're asking for an assessment, do we move forward with these violations and other recommendations, or do we just work through the assessment?
Can I just mention, prescribing hydrocodone for yourself, that is considered a violation.
No, correct, but it doesn't. We're just talking about that one, Sabi. You're right.
I mean, you know, that's basically, we penalize people for that. I mean, you know, you can't do.
You're absolutely right. I'm just to your point, the DEA would be very concerned about that type of activity, for sure. Additionally, but I'm just looking at, to Deb's point about a statutory violation, the three drugs that I mentioned, the three prescriptions that I mentioned, meet that violation level. That's all I'm saying.
I will hear Dr. Caputo. Sorry to, I don't know if you were going somewhere else. I'll pause for a second to make sure you weren't.
No. I'm just looking for your input. What order do we handle this in?
I would do it concurrent, and I would direct staff to start the assessment process. I do think that you've already established, I think my personal opinion, and not that I'm a voting member, but Deb's violation, the statutory violation that she's pointed out, I think is already accurate based on the information that Dr. Kami pointed out, that he's writing it for himself. It's not related to dentistry. So I think that you can do this two-headed, start the assessment by directing staff to start that process and then direct the rest of it to the board. And then staff can tell the board where we are with the assessment when it gets to the board level.
Okay. So then going back to that, let's start with identifying, in this particular case, a violation of 3212.01.013 and 14. Is there a second for that?
There are seconds.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Sorry, yes.
Okay, so motion carries for those violations. So we are now recommending a disciplinary action recommendation to the board. We mentioned risk management. Is there anything else that we would like to include in that recommendation? This is just on the disciplinary side recommendation. And as we all know, risk management includes ethics, just in case. All right, so we have – oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what else it would be, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So we have a disciplinary recommendation for four CEs in the area of risk management.
There are seconds.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay. The motion carries for that recommendation. Now we're on directing. So how do we do this, Ryan or Seamus? Do we ask the board to do this, or do we have staff do it for the assessment?
Staff.
Okay, so we want to direct staff to do a assessment regarding substance use concerns. Is that appropriate, or is there another way to say that?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say direct staff to order an interim order for substance abuse evaluation, but you covered it.
Okay. So is there a second for that recommendation?
Second.
Okay, second, Kalamchi. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, that recommendation for that carries. Thank you all very much, and I appreciate the discussion. We are now on agenda item 4B22, case number 2024-00307, and I, for the committee, I'm looking at page 7051, and I was going to 7051. Look for input, mainly, and Mia, I would be interested in your thoughts on this, but, and Julie, this is something that I also want to have your kind of pay attention to, too, but the investigator didn't substantiate the allegation, which is odd to me because of what was else was found. But the concern I have is the root canal was clearly done below the standard of care. No rubber dam was used, no type of appropriate isolation of the tooth. And obturation was identified to be 2.5 millimeters short of the apex. So to me, I don't understand how that's not an improper root canal, but that's kind of where I was stuck, so I'm sort of open for discussion on this one. Yes.
I was just going to say, regardless of, you know, someone can argue, as the provider said, that the exit was more distally, but without a CBCT, we won't know for sure. But I agree with you, it's the no signed consent. Unknown if rubber dam was used. Based on those images, there was no rubber dam. So I think those two alone are of concern for me. Okay. At least do non-disciplinary CE.
Sure. And I definitely was thinking along that line too. Other thoughts? Agreement or disagreement?
And Harris seconds for sure.
And Mia, what were your thoughts on the amount and type of CE?
I'm not sure. What do we typically do for?
Well, I mean, I think anywhere between four to six units of CE in the area of appropriate root canal therapy, including rubber dam isolation and, you know, establishing working length, utilizing appropriate radiographic or other resources to ensure correct length, that sort of thing. Your thoughts?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Plus consent.
Yeah, right. Okay, so how about six units of CE? This is a non-disciplinary recommendation of six units of CE in the area of root canal therapy, including informed consent, appropriate rubber dam use, and completion of working length and obturation. Sound fair?
I second that.
Okay. Other discussion? Okay, so we have a non-disciplinary recommendation for six units of CE and root canal therapy, including informed consent, rubber dam isolation, and appropriate working length and obturation determinations. Seconded by Esrari. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Esrari?
Yes.
Fukali?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries for that non-disciplinary recommendation. I'm just making myself a note, so hang in there with me. Okay, one more thing to do here. All right, thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4B25. Case number 2024-00312. For the committee, I'm looking at page 7,317. I didn't see a statutory violation or rule violation here and was going to make a non-disciplinary CE recommendation. And so with that, I'll open for discussion or input by the committee.
This is Harris. I had this one for dismissal.
Okay. And
I had this for letter of concern.
Okay. So one dismissal, one letter of concern, one non-disciplinary. I think my concern was just some of the issues they had in terms of how shade was identified. I think the way they communicated interface with the patient was a concern. And that's why I just was going to make a non-disciplinary recommendation of four CEs and risk management, where I was at. So other thoughts, since we have three different viewpoints so far. Mindy, what did you think?
Did we talk about the assistant delivering the case?
Yeah.
It's part of the risk management approach here.
Yeah.
That's why I said what I said.
Yeah, I thought so. I was just checking.
This is Kappas. I would lean toward the non-disciplinary CE.
Okay. And Mindy, were you fine with that as well, or were you thinking?
Yeah, not disciplinary. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
All right.
Yep.
Other thoughts? All right. So I'm going to go with the majority proposal here. So we have a proposal of non-disciplinary CE, 4 units of risk management. Is there a second to that?
I second that.
Okay, Clamshy seconds. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4B29, case number 2024-00332. For the committee, I'm looking at page 7949. I identified a violation of 32.12.01.014. And with that, I'll just see if others agree that that was a statutory violation there.
This is Harris. Yes, this case irked me.
Okay. All right. So you agree with that. Anybody else?
I think there's also number 24.
Records?
Yep.
And, where'd you see that, Cynthia, just to help me?
Page 7949, same one at the bottom.
Okay. I'm just going to go there and look real quick. Thank you very much.
Which,
7949. All right.
And I think there are a couple other things, but I don't know if you want to talk about those items first.
Oh, no, no. I just was looking at the statutory stuff.
Okay.
And then we can get into the discussion.
Well, maybe the other statutory stuff is, I think, as this is the same entity that's been identified in a few other cases further along, and I think they already identified this entity is not registered in Arizona.
Oh, and was the one where the investigator made a comment about that?
Yes. Later on in the subsequent cases.
Oh, but not in this one.
Not in this one, but I thought I'd point out that it's the same entity.
Oh, I see. So the entity here is not registered.
Correct. At least as if it is the same, and I believe it is. Someone else can maybe double check me on that.
Well, can staff confirm if Nuvia Scottsdale is a registered entity?
They are not a registered entity.
Okay. All right, so then you're correct, Cynthia.
Okay. So that's one.
So the entity would be a separate issue, which we can, but just as far as the licensee is concerned, did you see any other statutory?
So maybe I can use some input here. I think the licensee here is not the treating dentist. They are the owner. So I do think there was a request by the investigator suggestion that they open the case against the treating dentist. But as far as what the owner's involvement was, is that they did ultimately refund some of the monies to the complainant, and I think they are requesting that this case be dismissed. I have this feeling, I don't, maybe this is what Dr. Harris is, but I feel like the office is refunding monies and trying to have this case dismissed so that we don't ask some of the other questions that I think a lot of us have about this case. So, I can go into some of that if you'd like.
I guess the point is right now we're just looking at statutory violations.
Yeah.
So the question then is, do you see a statutory violation with this identified licensee, or are you saying you do not? Because I thought you brought up earlier that it was 24, and so I'm just making sure I understand you clearly.
So if he is not the one that's treated the patient, then we would have to dismiss against him and open against the treating dentist. That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. So we're not seeing, you're not seeing anything to indicate that, pH is involved here, is what you're saying.
That's my understanding.
All right, well, let's see. Is there agreement with that by other committee members that the identified complainant is not involved in this case?
That's what I had identified. I had identified that Dr. R.L. was the treating.
And I think that's what Dr. Fukami was saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now who is PH? PH is the practice owner?
Correct.
And do we know, I guess, since they're not a registered entity, what their connection to Nuvia Dental Implant Center is? Yes.
This is Mary, Dr. Caputo. So he is a practicing physician for a multiple of their locations. They have more than one location in Arizona and then I believe also in Texas. So he travels, and I think they even may have practices in Utah because his current address is in Utah. But he does have an active license here.
Okay, but you said physician, Mary. Did you mean dentist?
Yes, yeah, sorry. My apologies.
No, that's okay.
So sorry.
No, that's fine. All right, so he's the principal in this entity.
Correct.
But the issue is not with the licensee, is what I'm hearing from other committee members. So I think to your point, Cynthia, which I appreciate you bringing it up, and then obviously Deb confirming it, but I think the issue here that we're all struggling with is the overall practice of what's going on here. And I don't disagree with you that maybe there was an urge or a strong indication to refund this particular patient's money so that maybe they could potentially be just kind of pushed aside and nobody looks at them further. So
I
go ahead, son.
Yeah, I think what Cynthia mentioned, tried to mention, how many of these cases, 90 years old, poor guy who had these kind
correct
of treatment. I think that's what she getting at.
Yes, yes.
But I think we have to go after the dentist who is, R.L., the guy who did the render the treatment.
Right.
And that's what we need to look at.
All right. So, and Julie, are you hearing all this?
Yes, I am.
So there's a bigger issue here that I think maybe was missed by the investigator, right? So I just think this is something maybe to bring back to, because I think that's really where we needed to focus on here. So I think the easiest way to approach this now is, let's get a motion to dismiss against RH.
Do you mean PH?
Or PH, sorry. Thank you. And not a physician. So is there a motion to dismiss against PH?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Who was that?
Cynthia.
All right. Second by Dr. Fukami. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion for a recommendation of dismissal carries. What I had on my note, and I think that's where we're at, but then we need to bring up these other cases, Cynthia, that I don't know if you have reference to them. Are they in this agenda?
Yes.
But I think we need to do a practice audit here. And I think that's where we're kind of all leaning towards. Yeah?
Yes.
All right. And I don't believe he's been refunded.
It says that he was, Skip.
Partially.
The rest
of it. It said, I just saw it. It said.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
On potential restitution, it said none, a full and complete refund has been issued. That's 79.48.
Okay, then I misrecalled.
No, that's fine. I'm with you. But that's what I think that was to Cynthia's point. Let's get this thing resolved and maybe no one will look any further. But I think this practice, there's something wrong going on here, and I think we've all identified that. So.
Did they refund the $2,100 because you missed a surgery appointment? I mean, that is outrageous as far as I'm concerned.
And Saba, I just can only go off of what is written here. And according to the investigator, it says a full and complete refund has been issued. So I imagine that I want to say yes, but I can't say. Having said that, I think that what we want to direct, so who do we direct this to, Ryan? Is this, if we want a practice audit done, what recommendation or direction do we provide?
So the practice audit is internal. So are you talking about post the order or before you get to a final resolution? My apologies.
See, there's nothing against, so we dismissed the complaint against the licensee because that really wasn't the issue. But we need a new investigation. But I think what we're looking at is not just into the identified licensee here who is RL, but really into this practice. The concern we have is, and I think Saba said it really well, are there other 90-year-old patients that are being exposed to this type of mistreatment potentially?
And so if I'm following the conversation like I thought it was, it sounds to me like there's more to the investigation.
Yes.
And then it would be internal, and it'd be basically the investigator that's assigned, or you can have another investigator do it as well. But is this entity also not registered?
Correct.
Correct.
So other than getting them into the fold, Seamus, I'm lost, dude. I don't know how we investigate an entity that we don't have a regulatory authority over.
Ryan, thank you. Members of the committee, what I would recommend is, again, you know, if you have concerns, request that staff expedite this matter to the board quickly to get it on, you know, the next agenda with a recommendation that, again, they're going to have to become a registered business entity. That's required under law. And as a registered business entity, if the board believes that there's actions that have been taken which violate its standards of practice, it at that time could issue an audit. The other thing that it could do is enter into an agreement based on the allegations you see. And if in that final order, there could be an audit. And during that audit, if there were issues that were found, or there could be some kind of monitoring from, you know, AMI, if there was an issue that was found, it would be a violation. It could be a violation of that order, and the board could open a new case.
Okay.
But PH is the owner of that practice, correct?
From what we know, yes.
Yes.
Or at least in principle.
And we could go, you know, to PH to seek some clarification on his business.
So, and can I ask, Anthony?
Oh.
I think we're going to do this anyway, but we'll, if in the process of opening the investigation against the treating dentist, we can basically ask all the same questions that we're looking at, and then wouldn't that eventually lead to the audit of his practice at that location and whatever else needs to be figured out?
And to your point, Cynthia, yes. So I was going to say what we also want to do is open a new investigation against RL.
And that would serve the purpose that we're looking at, besides the fact that
it initiates it.
Yes.
But, Seamus, just to go back to the entity, can't we take action against, can't we direct you through the AG's office to take action against a non-registered entity?
Well, if they're required to be registered, then they're required to be registered, and we would look at it after they come into compliance, they're still required to be registered. So it wouldn't be an AG's issue. Now, again, if it's a single owner and they're not required to be registered, then again, to that point, it would just be against the individual and the board would still have that authority.
Okay. So understanding that, is the best thing for us to do at this point is to request a new investigation into RL. Does that seem reasonable, Ryan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a little bit messy, the whole thing, so I think that's probably the best start.
Okay. And I think that's kind of what Cynthia was saying, too, which I was thinking that's at least an opening into this. The good thing is, Julie, you're hearing all this, and so you kind of understand the flavor of this. Because, again, this entity comes up again, right, Cynthia?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's more going on here. All right. So I would like to make a motion that we request a new investigation into RL as identified on page 7948, full name and license number is listed there. Is there a second?
Sure, second.
Who was that seconded? I'm sorry. Harris?
Or sorry.
Harris seconds. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari? Yes. Okay, Asrari?
Yes. Yes.
Lukami?
Yes.
Gintias?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay. That recommendation for a new investigation carries.
Anthony?
Yeah.
A question for you, Ryan. I don't know what's the proper way to do that. Would it assist the investigator when they proceed with opening this case again and now against the new dentist to have some guidance or some different questions maybe this time around to ask? Does that make sense? Would maybe to assign a consultant already with her to work in tandem on this one? It just might get to the information faster was my thought, but
I would hesitate with the committee directing the actual investigator as opposed to the investigation.
Got it.
But I think to split the hair, I think what you're trying to say, Cynthia, is that you kind of at least want to make sure the investigator's on the right track. And so that's one of the reasons why we've involved Julie with these meetings is so that she kind of understands what we're discussing and then has a better opportunity to serve in her various capacities to fulfill some of the discussion and kind of how she interfaces with the board. So I think that is already happening.
Okay.
And I think to Seamus's point, we don't necessarily have to direct it because we've already sort of established what we're trying to accomplish. But I think your point's well taken. Okay, other comments? All right. We are now on agenda item 4B30, case number 2024-00333. And for the committee, I'm looking at page 8044. I didn't identify a violation here. I was just going to make a non-disciplinary recommendations for a couple of areas of CE, and that was it. But with that, I'll just open it up to see how others feel and think about this case.
This is Harris. I had this one also for dismissal.
Okay. All right. Other committee thoughts?
I think I'll stick on that.
Tell me which agenda case number this is again.
Oh, I'm sorry. We are on
30,
which is case number 2024-00333.
I think I had it for dismissal as well. Thanks.
Okay. I just was looking at some of the concerns regarding charting and some other risk management issues. So I was going to make a non-disciplinary, but I'm hearing three people indicate that dismissal is the direction. So that's enough to take a vote. So would someone like to make a motion for dismissal?
So move.
Motion by Kalanchi. Is there a second?
Harris seconds.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
No.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Intias?
Yes.
Kalanchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion carries for dismissal. That was easy. All right.
Okay. Anthony, I just had a quick point on this one. Is there any rules for pets in the operatories or anything, or is it just optional?
Say that again, Umar. What do you mean?
Like, I think for this one, they have a poodle or something in the operatory.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Honestly,
just for my own curiosity.
To be honest with you, more and more, I know dentists are bringing their animals into their offices, but I don't. Ryan or Seamus, do you know?
No, I have no clue. Unless
I don't either.
Would be a dangerous practice.
I'm telling you, it's happening more and more.
Emotional support turkey needs to come in the OR at every case.
I bring Seamus to work sometimes.
Oh, boy.
I am an animal.
It is getting off the rails.
I think to that point, Dr. Caputo, it could be a consideration. I'm not aware of it. Dr. Cutler may have some information. But again, I think that if it were causing, you know, a potential danger to patients, or for a rowdy dog, or maybe a pit bull that was rowdy. I didn't mean to say pit bull. A dog that was rowdy, you know, that may lend to that consideration.
Okay. And Mindy, I know you have personal knowledge of this, but isn't the dog you have, isn't it identified clearly as an emotional support?
They are certified, and they are actually very – very well-oriented research regarding that. So they are for patient support. So a lot of offices do actually use them.
Right. But even doesn't your dog have, like, some identification of that?
Well, first of all, it's not my dog.
The dog at the clinic.
Right, yes. They are certified.
So I guess that would be part of it, maybe, Umar? Is that I guess there's nothing definitive, I guess, to answer your question. So, no.
Gotcha.
But, yes, I know that was one of the issues raised.
I think Julie has her hand up.
Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
So I just went to the latest ADDA meeting that concerns this, and there were a couple lawyers there, and there is a federal mandate that you have to allow emotional, you know, support dogs in your clinic during patient care. But they have to meet certain criteria. They have to be well-behaved. They have to command, you know, there are certain criteria that was listed that was they flashed on the board. They didn't have a handout, but I did write down the federal mandated the rule number somewhere, and I will try and find it to you.
What I'd be thoughtful about is, because as you said, to be designated as a emotional support animal, I would assume, to your point, they have to meet criteria, but then wouldn't that come in some form of certification that this dog or this animal, whatever it is?
That is correct. They have to have certain paperwork.
Okay.
Yes.
Just an add to that, if you need, it's very easy to obtain that certification, by the way. I know that you could bring it back.
That is true, Dr. Kalanchi. You are absolutely correct.
Well, that's why. But that's, I think,
it's not a complex procedure.
Right. And I think that's how Dr. Harris got his turkey identified. Because it's that easy. All right. That joke fell flat. So we're going to move forward. All right. So, but Umar, I guess that addresses what you were inquiring about, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, we are now on agenda item 4B31, case number 2024-00334. For the committee, I'm looking at page 8255, and this is similar to the one that we mentioned earlier regarding rubber dam isolation. So it's a similar case. So if you look at 8044, the idea is, or I'm sorry, I said 80, it's 8255. There was no rubber dam isolation and obturation was short. So I just want to see if others feel similarly or if there's other thoughts and comments about this case. So open for discussion. Yes.
I think the difference between this case and the other case for me was that they still referred the patient to endo, they refunded the money to insurance, and the patient did not go for retreatment. So I agree with you that no rubber dam placement was a problem, but I think other than that, it seemed like it was handled a little bit better.
And that's fair. Would this maybe rise to just a letter of concern regarding appropriate use of rubber dam when you're doing root canal treatment?
Yes, that was my thought.
Okay, perfect. Is there consensus on doing a letter of concern? Other committee members?
We can also check. I could do a letter of concern.
Yeah, I had it for dismissal, so that seems to be my motif today.
All right, so let's do for this, Skip, if you're accepting, a letter of concern, just emphasizing that when doing root canals, the appropriate approach and standard of care is to utilize a rubber dam isolation. Is that fair?
Harris seconds.
Okay. Other comments? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion carries for the recommendation of a letter of concern regarding rubber dam isolation for root canal therapy. Thank you all. We are now on agenda item 4B33, case number 2024-00336. Was this one of those Nuvia cases?
Yes.
Okay, so there was my comment here, and the reason why I'm saying is, I'm just looking, I have a registered entity comment here. Does this have the same flavor of the other case or no? I'm looking at, for the committee, I apologize, page 8469. No, it looks like not.
I think there were some things different about this one, but the same question arose whether, because of lack of documentation, right, whether indeed treatments were offered, right? So I think it's a documentation issue for this one.
Yeah. I think I was leaning towards dismissal, but I had a question about being a registered entity, which I think we've already addressed. So did anybody else except for Dr. Harris have this for dismissal?
I had it for dismissal too, but the same thing as you with registration.
Okay. So I think we've adequately addressed the registered entity previously, right? So I think we've got to that.
I think we have more information here about it, because it doesn't seem that there are any owner dentist licensed in Arizona, according to the conclusions in the written here, 80 on page 84. Is it is it 69 or 70? I'm not sure. Where it says the dental office, Nuvia Dental Implant Center is a corporation owning it. Yeah, it doesn't, business register. Cause we were saying earlier that, the dentist was a owner, and here it just indicates that that's not the case. According to Corporation Commission, there are no owners listed as dentists.
Right. But I think that's, and I guess the only thing I'm saying at this point, Deb, cause I'm in full agreement with you. We've sort of addressed this based on the action that we took on the previous case, and we're going to see where that road takes us as we investigate that individual licensee.
Right. And okay, so clarify for me, did we indeed find a violation then of that they should be registered as a business entity? And
that's what we're looking into. We did not, there was no decision made. We just said in light of where our conundrum, if you will, that we were going to open a new investigation into the licensee, and then based on our concerns, we were going to carry that investigation forward to see where it led, and if it involved the entity, then that should come out as part of that investigation.
Okay, I see this a little bit differently, though. I look at this case as pretty clear-cut, dismiss against the practitioner, but then charge the business entity with violation of 32-1263-D5, pursuant to 32-1213 and charge a or recommend a $2,000 fee.
I agree with Deb. That's what I had.
This patient had massive surgery, big surgery. She's complaining about nobody answering. She has an issue. I think the dentist's responsibility is supposed to see her again and take care of her issue. That's away from the fact that there is a issue with the members of licensee or whatever entity they have. But the dentist who performed the surgery has a responsibility.
I think they did that, Saba.
Yeah, I think that okay. The investigator found that there wasn't anything wrong with the care that the dentist provided. I don't disagree with what you were saying, but I think the dentist addressed those concerns to the level that was accepted by the investigator, unless you saw something different.
Well, I see that on page 8466, her claim that she kept calling, nobody answered her. I mean, that, and then she said, my gum's swollen, all that. At least somebody should have seen her at that time. Unless the dentist saw her, and I didn't see anywhere. She went to see an ENT. She has an issue with the lingual phenom. All this issue should be addressed. I don't know if you document that in there. I didn't see any documentation the dentist has.
Okay.
In regard.
All right, so what are you looking at with respect to the licensee then? What were you thinking?
Well, there is a standard of care. I mean, just not abandoning the patient. If that is established, he didn't, then that's fine.
And that's what it says here, that on page 8469, the investigator says, I asked Dr. S. if he dismissed or abandoned the patient. He said there were issues the staff dealt with and that the Nuvia Dental Company could not meet the financial demands of the patient, and he is not sure if they dismissed her as a patient. Dr. S. did not personally have anything to do with dismissing the patient. He would have continued to treat the patient if she needed it and the office permitted him to. So I don't think there was an abandonment issue, or now it may be an entity issue to your point, but it's certainly not against the licensee. Or it doesn't
I see multiple follow-ups in the post-op notes for this one, and I don't see I mean, Saba, I defer to you on this one. I don't know how many times would be normal.
There's no number of time. I mean, anytime patient right. has complaint, you see him. I mean, there's not limited time.
What I saw was that there were at least one asked for an appointment. Looks like there was one made, and if sometimes the patient didn't show for them, and then sometimes, but when they did show for them, they were seen, and then that there were a number of other, the patient did mention that there were other medical appointments outside of this, that she went to for follow-up, but those weren't shared with per request. We don't know what the status of those was.
I'll go with everybody decide. That's fine.
I'm
okay. Well, I think that the general feeling is that the licensee did not abandon or refuse to see or follow up appropriately with the patient. And that seems to be substantiated by the investigator as well as the notes that Dr. Fukami is responding to. So is there a motion to dismiss against the licensee?
That's what I had down.
Okay, so motion by Harris. Is there a second?
Kappas second.
Kappas second. Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Abstain.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion for recommendation of dismissal carries. All right, Deb, now we're on to you. So give me those numbers again.
Okay, I would like to move for a violation of 32-1263-D5 pursuant to 32-1213, which requires this business to be registered with the board as a business entity.
Okay. So do you want to list both those is what you're saying?
Yeah, whatever is appropriate.
So we have 32-1263-D5 and 32-1213-J. Is that what you said?
Just 1213. That's all.
All right. So we have violations of 32-1263-D5 and 32-1213 regarding being a registered entity. Which carries a fine recommendation of $2,000.
Correct.
So is there a second to that motion by Kappas?
Second.
Second by Fukami. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion carries for the violations as listed and then the fine of $2,000. Okay, thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4B36, case number 2024-00340. I would direct the committee to pages 87, 87, 88. I didn't see a violation here, but I was going to make a recommendation for non-disciplinary CE. With that, thoughts, comments, or other input by the committee?
This is Harris. I have a letter of concern, but similar to your non-disciplinary CE, I think.
Okay. Other comments?
I had a letter of recommendation as well.
Concern?
Yeah, or, excuse me, yeah.
That's okay.
letter of concern.
Okay. Anybody else on letters of concern?
Same letter of concern.
Okay. So we have three thoughts for a letter of concern. So that's enough to take a vote. So we have a motion by Harris for a letter of concern, second by Kappas. Roll call.
Did we state what the concern was?
We'll get to that. I just want to see where we're at on this.
Oh, I see. Caputo?
No.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamshi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for letter of concern. As the maker, Dr. Harris, what would you like to inform this licensee?
But care should be taken to take patient pain credibly when managing root canal therapy.
Okay. Anything else?
I believe there was no rubber dam isolation again. They used dry shield, which
correct.
It's technically not as much as there were notes about that still isolates and it doesn't protect the tongue and throat. It really doesn't. So, but at least something with, that's why I'm okay with letter of concern.
That's fine. And I think on that part, April or whoever, in addition to Dr. Harris's comments regarding assessment of pain and responding or listening to patients' concerns for pain, I think he said it very well. We should also include on page 8788, it states really nicely that the ADA and the AAE consider the use of rubber dam for root canal therapy to be the standard of care. So regardless of the dentist position that the dry shield is okay, it's not. It's below the standard of care. Anything else to include, or everybody okay with that?
Sounds good.
And April, you think you got that all okay?
I did, thank you.
Okay. All right, so letter of concern. All right. Thank you all. So that's on to our next case, agenda item 4B37, case number 2024-00341. I'm looking at page 8898 and open for discussion. I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm thinking. You've been denying me, so I'm just going to.
Coward.
Coward. All right, I was going to do
I'll jump on my sword. Again, I had this one for dismissal.
Dismissal? So wow, all sorts of dismissals. All right, let me go see if I can make my case. 8898. So, refund was provided because of numerous attempts to make occlusal correction that I did not could overcome. All right. I will tell you all what I'm thinking about this, given that I've recently invested myself into a number of CE courses on restoration of these All-on-X cases, as well as CE courses on occlusion and VDO. I have a large concern that a lot of these folks are going into these cases where these patients have altered VDOs and occlusal presentation because of their presenting dental condition. And then they get into these cases and they kind of are guessing at what that video is. And as a result, they miss and then they have problems with the restoration afterwards. And I think that's why these restorative prostheses have all the challenges that they have. And so my concern is that the effort's not being made up front in diagnosis and treatment planning. So here I was just considering that that's an issue here, and I didn't think it rose to a disciplinary level, but I did think it was appropriate to have some kind of non-disciplinary CE in that type of training, but as well as, in this particular case, periodontal evaluation. So that's where I'm at, but if...
Dr. Caputo, I completely agree with you. I think it seems easy, but it shows that none of the examination and exploration was done prior to taking this treatment. As you can see, no soft tissue, no hard tissue, no existing. I bet you there is no pre-op cast to evaluate and see where the patient's bite is. So I think they're jumping into it without any prior knowledge. And I agree that it needs to be a little bit more exploration before they jump into these cases. So I second your concern for letter of concern.
Well, I was thinking non-disciplinary CE.
I second that.
Okay, non-disciplinary CE or letter of concern?
CE, I'm sorry.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Take that, Dr. Harris.
I'm splitting the hairs and saying letter of concern.
Yes. Cynthia for letter of concern. Awesome.
I was gonna vote yes. You convinced me.
I convinced you. All right. All right. So.
But honestly, I think your point is made on – the reason I had it for letter of concern was because, to me, the underlying issue was that I don't think the patient – at least it isn't documented enough to show that they had an understanding of what was the complexity is. And my letter of concern was to say that the licensee should ensure that there's written documentation that the patient understands the risks and benefits of the complex treatment plan. So that was, and it wasn't, that was the problem I had with the missing documents was that there was no treatment plan or consent sign that would indicate that they really had that understanding. So.
I can agree with you more. I think these folks go into these cases and it's not fully explained to them the complexity of treatment.
Dr. Fakami, I agree with you, but I also wanted to emphasize what Dr. Caputo says. Unfortunately, I don't think the provider is aware of complexity. So as they're not explaining the full extent to the patient either. So you can't expect them, you're the one with the license and knowledge. You can't expect the patient to expect unexpected and without explanation.
They don't know what they don't know.
They don't know what they
don't know. I understand.
Okay. So I have a proposal for a non-disciplinary recommendation to include 6 CEs in diagnosis and treatment planning for full mouth restoration, including periodontal evaluation.
I would add occlusion to that as well, Dr. Caputo.
Okay. 6 C's in full mouth restoration, occlusion, and periodontal evaluation. Thank you. Would you like to second that, Dr. Motohari?
Absolutely.
All right. So we have a non-disciplinary recommendation for 6 CEs as described. Seconded by Dr. Motohari. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fakami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalanchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Motohari?
Yes.
Okay, that recommendation carries. Thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4B40.
Sorry, Dr. Caputo. Do we talk about any restitution? But I'm not sure if it's not non-disciplinary. We talk about restitution or not.
For us to go to restitution, it would have to go to a disciplinary.
Okay. Sorry. I just want to show.
That's fine. You good?
Mindy? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No problem. All right. So we are now on agenda item 4B40, case number 2024-00351. I'm looking at, for the committee, page number 9,132 and 33. I saw violations of 32.12.01.01, 14, and 24. And so with that, open for discussion. Pair a second, is that what I heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Other discussion?
Yeah, it's bad.
Is bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it seems like that's agreement. All right. So with that, roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yep.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for the finding of those two violations. With that, for the committee's consideration and discussion, I would propose a disciplinary recommendation to include 16 CEs through the Credit Cares Program in the areas of diagnosis and treatment planning for perio and restorative, restorations of fillings and crowns, including caries removal, cavity preparation, record keeping, and restitution in the amount of $1,023.20 to the patient and $336.80 to insurance. Discussion.
And was there a failure to respond to a subpoena in that one?
I don't know. Was there a...
I wrote failure to send, and I don't know if that means refund or if it were... I don't know my own notes.
Oh, I didn't see one. Did anybody else see an NCS?
I didn't see one, but I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I might be wrong on this one.
No problem.
Can we add an AGD? Sorry. That was a joke. You got it.
I got you. I mean, sometimes.
I don't see it, so just ignore me.
No, that's fine. So... any thoughts about CE recommendations and restitution?
I'll second that.
Okay. Second by Kalamchi. Other discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for that disciplinary recommendation as listed. And April, I imagine you can just listen to the recording to get the details.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, thank you all very much. We are now on agenda item 4B43, case number 2024-00356. For the committee, I'm looking at page 9380 and was considering a non-disciplinary recommendation. With that, open for discussion. Dr. Harris.
Nope, I agree with you.
Oh, great. Okay. Other comments? I was thinking of
agree.
A lot of root canals here, huh, Dr. Asrari?
Sadly.
I was looking at a recommendation here of non-disciplinary to include 6 CEs in root canal therapy in the areas of diagnosis, treatment planning, including referral, treatment of a root canal procedure for rubber dam isolation, access, file length, obturation and final assessment. What do you think about that, Mia?
That's good. Also, they refunded, or did they need to refund?
They refunded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did. I didn't see a financial implication here.
Okay.
Are there thoughts about that recommendation?
There are seconds.
Okay. Other comments? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Lukami?
Yes.
MTS?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Manahari?
Yes.
Okay. The motion carries for a non-disciplinary recommendation for six CEs and root canal therapy as listed. Thank you all very much. Okay, we are on our last case. Understanding that, we pulled the case. Sorry, my bad. We are now on case agenda item 4B47, case number 2024-00376. And I believe this was Dr. Harris that asked this one, or was it Dr. Fukami?
Nope, it was me. Felt like that they were unusually difficult and slow to refund, and I was interested in maybe a letter of concern on trying to, you know, play nice and not make things so challenging for the patients.
Okay. Does anybody else agree with Dr. Harris? Okay with a letter of concern, or did anybody have other thoughts?
I had it down for dismiss, but I could go with a letter of concern.
As he discussed, the content that he discussed, Deb?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Other committee comments? Okay, so we have a motion by Dr. Harris for a letter of concern to discuss positive communication with the patient regarding
about timely and responsive refund requests.
So positive communication with patients regarding timely and responsive requests for refunds.
Can I ask on this one? Again, this would be a letter of concern to the licensee, right? The way that this is written?
Correct.
As I read the notes, though, it was actually the entity that was slow in returning or figuring out the insurance issues. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I absolutely agree with you, and I still think that the dentist, you know, I mean, I feel like these corporations are getting away with really torturing the patients, and I think the dentists are kind of deliberately making a blind eye to the business practices of the corporations they work for. I think the dentist should be warned.
This is an interesting discussion because one of the things, I just read something, and I know this is something that Ryan's brought up in the past too, as well as others on the board staff, and I think Seamus is included in that, is how do we connect with these entities and in some ways connect with the licensee when the licensee oftentimes doesn't even know how the entity is interfacing with the patient.
And they have no control either.
They have no control.
If they don't agree, they lose the job.
I think that's my point, though. I think they do know. And I think they turned a blind eye. And I think it's part of the problem.
And in regards to what Dr. Harris said, whether they know or not, the more of these cases that come up, maybe dentists need to realize that that's the risk they're taking by working at some of these entities. And if they feel like they can't have involvement, they should not be signing those contracts or be working at these, because there's no excuse to say, I had no idea. It's not my fault. I worked for the MC and they should have released the records or should have provided a refund.
Right.
If they don't allow you to do that, well, then don't work there.
Right. So the other part of that conversation is there that approach where, oh, I work for this entity, I can just deny everything, right? I'm not involved. And so they don't take any responsibility because they don't feel like they have to. So I think what I'm hearing Dr. Harris say, Dr. Fukami, is regardless of where the issue may be in terms of communicating and responding to the patient, the dentist should be aware and involved with that process. Fair enough, Skip?
Absolutely. That's precisely what I'm saying.
I think I 100% agree with you, and I have very many of the same concerns, and I think it's just such a giant issue. There's going to be more, but I felt like I would be more in agreement with that if the patient had actually communicated to the dentist directly about their concerns about it, and they then deflected it to the entity, and that's where we're at. But I didn't get the sense here that that was the case. I don't even know if the dentist even knew that she had made that she had financial questions. And if they aren't even informed of that in the first place, then how can they act upon it?
Okay. So let's do this. And that's fine. Let's see if we can split this hair. Do we know if this Aspen Dental in Goodyear is a registered entity?
And actually, may I point out, if you look at the actual complaint, the complaint was made against the entity, not the licensee.
No, I understand. I think, though, that I still think there's a point that we might be able to make here, Cynthia, and it is a letter of concern, right? So I think there's an opportunity here that maybe we're just trying to see if we can kind of address this issue that seems to be something that is a challenge across the board when you work for these. When you work for an entity, right?
I get it.
Yeah. No, I understand. I think your comments are spot on.
So I think it's going to require a bit more research to figure out if the Aspen Dental, this particular location, is registered.
All right. So let me ask.
Or is even required to be.
Okay. So April or Ryan or whoever. Can we send a letter of concern to an entity, whether they're registered or not?
They would have to be registered.
Okay. Thanks, Seamus. So I think – go ahead.
It looks like they are a registered entity with us.
Great. All right. So, Cynthia, would you be open to us sending a letter of concern as Dr. Harris described to both the entity and the dentist?
Yes.
Okay. And Skip, would you be okay with that?
I like it even better.
Okay. So our recommendation then is to send a letter of concern as described regarding positive patient communication that is supportive and helpful and timely to both the entity and the licensee in this matter. Is there a second?
Kappa's second.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asori?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Enthias?
Yes.
Kalanchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Lodahari?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for a letter of concern to the entity and licensee in this matter. Thank you all. We are now on agenda item 4B48, case number 2024-00381. And for the committee, I'm looking at page 9,819 and 20. I identified a violation of 32 1201-0114. Comments. Is there agreement or disagreement on the violation?
I agree. This is Kappas.
Okay.
Yep, Harris seconds.
Okay. So we have a violation of 32120114. Motion by Kappas, second by Harris. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Sukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for that violation. I will not echo the comments that I made earlier, but this follows in the same vein about these all-on-X procedures. I would propose for the committee's consideration a disciplinary recommendation to include 12 CEs in the area of diagnosis, treatment planning, and restoration of all-on-X procedures, and restitution in the amount of $18,000. Comments?
I would add occlusion again because it keeps breaking, and I second that.
Okay, and I appreciate you saying that, and I think it's perfect. So I'm just going to make a note of that.
Harris seconds.
Okay, Motohari seconded, actually. Dr. Harris, slow down. That's a joke. All right.
Oh, I shouldn't be so incredible.
Amen.
It's sad because we're muted, so difficult to laugh.
I got you. All right. So we have a motion and second. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Sukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Matahari?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for that disciplinary recommendation. I have 3:38. Saba, you have to leave at 3:45.
Yes. I think you have nothing else in this. You've done
it. We have one more case. I was going to say we could take a 5-minute break and just kind of keep you right till 3:45. Or do you want to just go ahead and deal with that one right now?
We'll deal with this one.
No. Yes, sir. All right, Dr. Fukami, you are up. We are on agenda item 4B54, case number 2024-00417.
So actually, we've done the groundwork on this one already. This is the same case as case B33 above, right? This is the same situation where I actually, in this case, would say that we should dismiss it against the licensee, but this entity is not registered in Arizona,
We already took action against them through you and Deb earlier, right?
Right. So that's why I withheld it, because I want to make sure it got discussed. Enough to discuss it, or do we need to do you double it because it's been brought multiple times? I don't know.
Okay. I think we're good there. So if you're okay with that, I would take a motion for dismissal if you're okay.
I'm okay.
All right. So motion for dismissal by Dr. Fukami. Is there a second?
Kappas, second.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo, before you go to the roll call, Seamus, is that the best way to dispose of that since it seems like they're similar, or should we combine them and just take the same action? I don't know what the best response is. Because I don't want them or an attorney to argue, well, you dismissed this one, but this one you took action, and they're similar. Do you know what I mean? I don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's up to the committee. If you'd like to make a recommendation to combine it with the other one and settle them together with the same disposition, that would be appropriate.
Okay. And I put that seems to make sense. Are you okay with that, Cynthia?
I am, except we dismissed the other one then. What do you do?
Well, we haven't. Well, no, but that's what he means by the same disposition. We're dismissing, but we're taking action against the entity.
Okay, that's fine. I'm great with all that. So
I think to Ryan's point, he's just trying to say he doesn't want the entity to come back and say, well, you dismissed that complaint and didn't take any action against us. So if we combine them, the disposition is the same against the licensee. We're dismissing it. But we are taking action against the entity. In this case, it would be another fine of $2,000 for violation of 3212(3)(d)(5) and 3212(13). Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So to do it correctly, let's go ahead and dismiss against the licensee. So where was a motion by Fukami and I believe a second Pappas?
Correct.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo? Harris?
Yes.
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappa?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Modavari?
Yes.
Okay, so motion carries for dismissal against the licensee as identified in this matter. And now there's a motion for violation of 3212(63)(d)(5) and 3212(13) against the entity. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Who was that?
Fukami.
Oh, thanks. Second by Fukami. And that carries a fine of $2,000. As a recommendation to the board. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Imtiaz?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Modahari?
Yes.
Great. Motion carries for that recommendation. For finding of those violations and fine against the entity in this matter. We did it. Nice job, everybody.
Thank you.
Saba, you're going to sign off.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah, you bet. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You do the same. Everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll identify that Dr. Calamchi left the meeting at 3:43. Going back to, we're now on agenda item 5. Going back to my comments at the beginning of the meeting, first of all, I hope you all have at least had a chance to read the survey. The opening comments that I provided are heartfelt. I really do appreciate everything all of you do. And even though it was addressed to the committee members, I'd be remiss if I didn't also recognize the incredible amount of work that staff does to support us and also just the excellent support we get from Seamus in helping us and guide us accordingly. And then certainly to Ryan for what he does in supporting our efforts as well. Having said that, we do have a open position. Now, is it my understanding, Ryan, even though we are looking to replace the position that Dr. Berrigan has left due to her resignation, can we have more members to this committee, or are we at the number that we were determined to be when this committee was first formed?
Yeah, so you're at the max with one vacancy. So
okay.
You can't increase the number, but you
gotcha.
Can add to the vacancy.
Okay. So, you know, if any of you know of an orthodontist that would be willing and interested to be involved with this committee. We can just make recommendations to them, right? What do we need to do, Ryan, is have them just send in some credentials?
So, and a couple have already submitted.
Awesome.
What they, you know, nobody's vetted anybody yet. If you can vet somebody, so say Deb has a friend that she's known for a long time and she wants to recommend somebody, she's welcome to do that. But it'd probably be a good idea for, in my example, for Deb to contact that person to find out if they have an interest. Because if they don't have an interest and we start contacting them, they'll be like, what's all this? Additionally, there have been some that have commented that there's not enough, and I think you guys have had this in a general discussion in these meetings, that there's not enough general dentists on here. I get that Berrigan was an ortho, and not having her present, I think, removes the ortho perspective. You don't have, there's not any, there's no specificity that if somebody leaves, we have to fill with that type of practice or specialty. So, I mean, it's up to you as a committee. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other, but it can be any other specialty, a general dentist, or clearly an ortho to fill an ortho's shoes. But that's up to you guys.
I know, just speaking for myself, I would, my preference would be to replace a committee member with a like committee member, or I think considering another general dentist would also be appropriate. But that's what my thoughts would be. I don't know if others have comments or thoughts that they have.
And if it's your desire, this committee's desire, we can reach out to ASDA or any others, whoever you else you think of, and I'll say advertise, I'll use the term loosely, advertise the position to see if we get some response that way as well. So, but it's, this is clearly your prerogative and how you guys want to go. And then the final recommend, you would make a recommendation to the board would approve or deny, but generally they'll probably just follow what you ask.
Sure. Is there a sense from the committee that we would absolutely want another orthodontist, or would we be open to an orthodontist or a general dentist?
This is Kappas. I could go with either. I think that sometimes we can get, we might get a little too specialist heavy, and we need, I think we need a good core of general dentists. And beyond that, just if I put in my two cents, I think it is a good idea to put out a request or a, to let the general licensee population know that we're looking for a, what we're looking for as a vacancy, rather than just relying upon our own individual referrals.
And I think that's fair. I think the one thing that's helpful from a committee level referral, if you will, is I think the challenge is to, for somebody maybe on the outside looking in, is not necessarily knowing the level of commitment. And so one thing I do have concern about is someone that says, yeah, I'm very interested, but then they get into it and they find out, wow, this, because we all know there's a lot of work to do here. And I think sometimes, particularly at this stage, we maybe make things look a little bit easier or more straightforward, but I think it's because of our level of experience as well as working together as much as we have. I think that that allows for some of that efficiency. But it, nonetheless, I would think we all would agree, a fair amount of time that you put into reviewing these cases and feeling that you've prepared appropriately to have the types of discussions that we have. And I only say that because I think putting out a general advertisement, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but it doesn't necessarily allow that person to capture what's really involved in this type of position. It's a pretty robust position, yeah.
Can I comment on that, actually? I think that's
absolutely
fair. I having read your missive last week, I did reach out to several orthodontists thinking that was the direction we were going, and they would have been fantastic additions, but both declined because after having had a discussion about what the time commitment would be, that was something that was just, they would have been very interested in participating, but couldn't fathom that would fit into their schedule with the amount of due diligence they would want to put into the role, right? And I think that is as much a reflection of their thoughtfulness on the issue, right? So I guess thinking of that, and I agree with you 100%, this is a whole lot more work than I think any person maybe anticipated, even ourselves when this all started, that's for sure. So is there a way, if a general notice is put out, that could be communicated even in that in that request? And, you know, you could certainly put out a message saying, you know, that we're looking for a call for nominations, but to a reminder that there is a time commitment, that it might look like this, and if you have true interest, that you're welcome to reach out to the following individuals to get further clarification on what that time commitment would be. I think that at least would address that, right? And my other question to you is, why are we limited to just one more person? Can we have two more? Because I see value in having another general dentist and another orthodontist. I think the orthodontist was not initially included into the original roster, but we found a reason to add that person because we thought it would be valuable to have ortho given the nature of that scope of practice relative to ours, right? I still think there's value there. So is there a reason why we can't include two more?
Yeah, Ryan?
Well, we were just looking to see if we can add members. So by statute, it's 32-1206, and I think that's the only place. I don't think there's a cap on the number, but I believe that after the statute was created, the board made a decision that they were going to cap it at 11 because they didn't want it to be bigger than them. I think they're afraid of a coup. I'm just kidding. the recommendation, I mean, clearly, yes.
Ryan?
Yep.
The law says that the board may appoint not more than 11 members. So
where is that at?
B7.
You got to leave, Mindy?
No. I was just going to say one more thing, but I let...
Yeah, go ahead.
Are we done?
32-1206 B7. Is that what you said?
Oh, yep, exactly. Sorry, we were trying to look for it on the fly. So pardon all of that other stuff. So
we are capped at 11.
You are.
Okay, well, there's your answer, Cynthia.
Gotcha. I'm good with either.
I understand, but that was one of my thoughts too. Is trying to increase the membership, and for some of the same reasons. The other thing too, I think about quorum. You know, sometimes we all know we can't all make all the meetings, and so knowing that you have a sufficient number of people, but we still have that with what we have, but. Yes. So there you go. So we are max. We are tapped out at a max.
Maybe my only sort of additional information now is that I don't think we had a single ortho case today. Is that correct? Now, when I look at what the future needs are, maybe that would inform our decision a little differently as far as what to fill for that one spot.
This is Kappas, and to that point, I think that's why we leaned toward adding an orthodontist, because we had a lot of ortho cases come at us, and we said, boy, it should be great to have an orthodontist. And then that dried up. Then we have one or two, maybe, and, you know, so but be that as it may, maybe we can approach it the way we've approached it in the past, is maybe our preference might be an orthodontist, but if we can't find an orthodontist, quickly enough, who can and able to and willing to have that time available and commit, then we also look to general dentists. So we make sure we can get somebody placed in the vacancy sooner rather than later.
I think that's the challenge, right?
Dr. Caputo?
Yes, go ahead, Mindy.
Have you ever thought about other specialty? I don't know why we never talked about prosthodontists. I suggest a prosthodontist. I think we have a lot of implant cases, a lot of heavy restorative cases. I think it would be as challenging to get a prosthodontist as an orthodontist. I as a general dentist, I really value having a specialty. Yes, they do concentrate on a specific area, but it just gives you a different perspective on a case. I know it's difficult to have a couple of, I know we have two general dentists, me and David, but at least there is two of us here. Prosthodontists do serve as a general dentist as well. You know, I it's just a little level of a specialty, but I think having a prosthodontist, it would be very valuable. That's just my two cents.
It's a good idea.
I like it. So I think that maybe we should try, and I think your point is, I hear you on the prosthodontist side. I do think, and I think it's something that is going to happen more as these all on X type cases are happening out there to a fairly high degree. So I think maybe we keep our, at the end of the day, we want someone who's at least interested and engaged and willing to fulfill the commitment. But our eyes are on a, let's say, prosthodontist, orthodontist, or general dentist. Does that seem reasonable? Or do we want to just look for a prosthodontist? I'm okay. Kind of want to make sure I'm hearing what the committee would like.
Well, I would really like not judging Crown and Bridge anymore.
Yes. I really think by having a prosthodontist, even though I hate this slang, I don't like to kill anything, but I think we kill two birds with one stone because they can so, serve as a specialty along with
Ryan,
advances in general.
We're gonna look for a we want to get a prosthodontist.
Okay.
And so let's have
one in oven. He's retired. If I can get him to get involved, and he's fantastic.
But let's do the same thing, and I really applaud what Dr. Fukami did in reaching out to some orthodontists. At this point, I'm glad they turned you down. So if you know any prosthodontists that you can reach out to, I would be encouraging us to do that. I do think the big thing is, because I think, Cynthia, you said it well, I think the person really has to know what's kind of involved in doing this. It's a fair amount of work, and I'm not trying to scare anybody off. I just want them to be realistic about what's involved.
Yep.
So, okay. Other thoughts and comments?
I did recruit Mia. And I did tell her how much it takes, and she thought about it, but hey, she's still here.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I was about to say, Dr. Motahi, I was going to say, I so appreciate that when you talked to me, you specifically said there's thousands of pages to read and how many hours, and I dedicate how much time, and I really, really appreciate that because I went in knowing what I'm doing.
It was helpful, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's good. So couldn't be better. Well, good. And certainly if you guys have personal contact with Karen, but certainly on behalf of the committee, Ryan, if you guys could just let her know, we so do appreciate everything she did for us and with us. And she was a very helpful and valuable part of the committee.
Yeah, we did that already. So If I can, we'll send an email. It'll probably come from Yasmin or Christina. And basically what we would like for you, and to Deb's point, we like to advertise. We're not objective to advertising, but you guys have the best knowledge with the, because you have your own peer group and other people that you work with. So if you have somebody that has an interest now apparently in prostadonna, shoot them to us, have them give us a CV or resume, and we'll formalize this in an email, and we'll capture those and give them to you guys at your next meeting, so you guys can make a decision. Ultimately, it'll be the board, but it'll be your recommendation to the board. So we'll formalize that in an email.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Regarding the complaint log, just continue to look forward, particularly for any potential conflicts, so those can be identified and taken care of. We're still having members fill out the COI form, Yasmin, right?
This is April. That's correct.
All right. Thanks, April. So, you know, if you do identify something, there is a form to complete. So that we just have all of that on record and documented appropriately. With respect to the complaint log, Ryan, I think this is something I maybe communicated with you a little bit earlier. But do you have a sense, notwithstanding the 180-day sort of recommendation that we have on adjudicating complaints, but do you have a sense of where the board is with respect to the work that we're doing?
Yeah, so super timely question. This comes up weekly on Tuesdays. It was terrible at one point, like how quick or not we are with getting cases from start to finish. And it's getting better. At one point, we were at like 163, which was a good number. We had a record number of complaints last year at 575. So the number grew just because we just don't have the resources to manage 575 complaints that quick. So we were at 238, probably at our highest number, which is about 60 days longer than they would like to see. And now we're at 207 as of today, so about 20 days longer. So it's increasingly getting better. And like maybe 2 weeks ago, it was at 209. So it's going down. And it's going in a positive direction. So, and this committee has helped demonstratively, especially like if you looked at today, I think we had 58 cases. To put 58 cases without this type of review on a board agenda, they would be there all day because they have to allow respondents the ability to speak. So it's amazing. I love what you do. This has been one of my favorite things about being a part of this board. It's seeing this committee and seeing the work that you guys do. It's super appreciative.
And I appreciate that. But from today, does it seem like we're in good sync with the board? Are we ahead of them, kind of behind them? Or are they able to kind of keep up with what we're doing? Or does that just kind of take care of itself by virtue of how you organize our agendas?
Yeah, I think it's pretty in sync. They keep up with it pretty well, mostly because a lot of these dismissals go on to the very next board meeting, because this is the first time we give respondents an opportunity to speak is after this meeting, which I'm not sure that you guys were aware. You guys kind of operate in a vacuum. You don't get to see the respondent's response to the investigator's report. So some of the cases that go to the board, you guys may have discipline and they may dismiss it, because there's something else that comes between this meeting and the board meeting that you guys don't get an opportunity to look at. So those things will come up and they go before the board. So those are, I think it's like a 45-day waiting period from this committee to the board. With this meeting being today, the 17th, and the next meeting in January being the 24th, maybe all of these cases will go on to the next agenda. But I think it's pretty in sync, and you guys are doing an amazing job.
That is pretty timely. All right, great. Well, I appreciate that. Any other comments with respect to current events?
Yes, current event is holiday is coming up. Happy holiday, happy new year to everybody.
Thank you.
That couldn't be more current.
We are, yes. Well, and relatively current to that, it looks like we just received notification that license fees are going up, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be a timely current event. Licensing fees, as we just sent an email blast, the board did. They had to vote on the, I don't remember the date, two Fridays ago. Because of the insolvency looming, if there was no increase, it still may come, but less likely with the increase. But we tried to write, the board wanted to make certain that the licensee group knows that for 6 years there was free for three and then 60% reduced for the next three. For no other reason than to hope that people understand that it's survival now. We looked up today and we are still below the national average by $60 on an annualized basis of renewal fees than the national average. So it's still below, even though it's at its highest.
Interesting. And related to that too, it is official that the total number of CEs has been reduced, right?
Yeah, it's 63 hours for dentists and 45 for hygienists.
Okay.
And that happened also under the leadership of this board.
Okay.
And then we were third highest, and now we're much more middle of the ground, middle level.
The only other thing for us to be aware of that I mentioned earlier in the meeting, but we should have, do you know if by next meeting the new rules for, but they won't necessarily apply, right? For any complaints that come in would be reference to whatever rules were in place at the time of the complaint. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly.
But we're probably going to see some transition. When are we expecting the new sedation and anesthesia rules to go in effect?
You guys will be here all night if I gave a long story on that. It's super complicated. There's now, yeah, it's a complicated story. I was hopeful that we could approach GIRC by the end of this month for the study session and then the beginning of January for the council meeting. With GIRC. GIRC is Governor's Regulatory Review Council. There's no way it's going to happen, and we may actually have to refile with the Secretary of State another notice of supplemental rulemaking, have another oral proceeding, and then bring it back to GIRC. And if that happens, it probably won't be till April or May or even beyond.
Okay. And then, so just for our understanding, once the rules go into effect, then any complaint that comes in after that date would be subject to those new rules, meaning if the rules went into effect in May, but a complaint was made for an event that occurred in February, would that be under the new rules or the pre-existing rules?
I guess it would be dependent upon what it was involved, but more than likely it would be the old rules as opposed to the new rules.
All right. So there'll be some transition that we at least have to be thoughtful of over the course of next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think with that, appreciate all of you very much. I think we've had a pretty solid year. Again, just a reminder to complete that survey when you get some time, and your comments are helpful and appreciated. And to Mindy's point, I hope you all have a great holiday season and an excellent new year. And it looks like our next meeting is on January 21st of next year. With that.
Sounds right.
It is now.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for a good year.
Happy holidays. Yep.
It is 4:09, and we will call this meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much.